understand, okay, this chicken has this many grams, calories, etc., this apple. So there's that. But some of the negatives is that sometimes, especially, it definitely depends on the type of person, but it can be overwhelming, and sometimes we can kind of focus a little bit too much on just some of these numbers, and it kind of gives us a little bit of tunnel vision, and we miss out on some of the other things, and maybe, but even a little bit too much stress on the numbers.
All right, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Fitness Lying Down podcast. That's right, it is I, Megan the Trainer, registered dietitian, coming at you today for a nutrition takeover. So again, I am also not by myself again today. The past couple of episodes that I've been doing, I have been able to do it with a lovely guest speaker, or multiple guest speakers. And so our guest speaker today is none other than our current nutrition intern, Isaiah Baker. What's up?
Hello, hello. Super excited to be here with you today.
Nothing like that for a little bit of a hype intro.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel it.
So for the topic for this episode, we're talking everything calories. Everything you wanted to know and more when it comes to calories. What are they? What do they mean? Should we track them? How much do you need? All of that stuff. We're going to kind of touch a little bit of everything relating to calories. So, of course, the big thing that I'm always an advocate of in the realm of dietetics is applying the appropriate context. So you're going to get a lot of context when we talk about calories. And so Isaiah and I are going to go back and forth, just kind of talking again about what are they, what you should know, what we want you to know. And of course, as always, if you have any questions on anything that you hear in this episode, do not hesitate to reach out to me and let me know what they are. I'm happy to help in whatever way that I can. My email is nourishtoflourish.fld@gmail.com, nourishtoflourish.fld@gmail.com. It's a very long email and I apologize for that, but you know, sorry, not sorry. So we are going to jump right in to calories. We're not even going to we could talk a little bit of background stuff, but I think we all have probably been exposed in some way, shape, or form to calories. So I don't want to hash out some of the basics that you might already be familiar with, and let's just get right into the juicy bits. Isaiah, what do you think about people tracking calories? Should they do it? Is that a thing that people should, a habit that people should take up?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. And it obviously, you might hear this a lot, it depends, but truthfully, it can be beneficial for some people, but there's also can be some downsides as well. So we can kind of talk about some of the good and some of the bad that comes with tracking calories. I think starting with the good, of course, I think for some people, even myself included, some people are or numbers type of people and like to stay organized. And I think it is a great representation, of course, of your diet. I know with our time together, I've heard you mention when you're tracking a measurable goal, and sometimes for people who are more focused on a weight management type of goal, that it does in this particular case require measurable achievements or parameters to kind of reach that goal. And that's not necessarily necessary. It's not completely needed to track calories, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But it can be a great way of staying on track and having a really great understanding of what you are putting in your body or expending.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you brought up at the beginning, Isaiah, and I feel like, again, if you've been listening to this, you've been working with me in the past, you know, my infamous answer for almost everything is it depends. Mm-hmm. And just like Isaiah was saying, there's definitely clients that I see that are accountants. And like you said, are very numbers driven. So they're motivated to keep track of all of these things. So again, there's pros and cons to all of this. So like Isaiah was saying, if you want to like really get nitty gritty with your intake. And if you want to make sure that you're getting enough protein, then that means that you need to track your protein. So we can't just say a goal of, I want to eat more protein and then not really track it. Because then how do we know if we're improving on it? So it's kind of the same thing when it comes to calories, is that it's just all about like building awareness and things. So Isaiah, when might it not be a helpful or a good idea to track some calories?
Yeah. Well, just touching a little bit back, another kind of when you mention protein and macronutrients, I think just another good example of tracking is that it does bring in some of those, some examples of real foods and those numbers. Sometimes, especially when it comes to like produce and things like that, it's kind of hard to understand, okay, this chicken has this many grams, calories, etc., this apple. So there's that. But some of the negatives is that sometimes, especially, it definitely depends on the type of person, but it can be overwhelming. And sometimes we can kind of focus a little bit too much on just some of these numbers. And it kind of gives us a little bit of tunnel vision, and we miss out on some of the other things, and maybe, but even a little bit too much stress on some of these type of the numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. When I tell clients about tracking calories, my first statement is always, it depends. And my second statement is, if it's going to be helpful to you, then I think that that's fantastic. If it's something that's going to hinder your progress and goals, and if it's something that's going to feel like a burden or an extra chore, or like Isaiah was saying, that it's going to give you some tunnel vision and maybe like pull out some, dare I say, disordered eating tactics or some negative thought processes as you get into it, then it's definitely not going to be a thing that we want to track and we want to measure. We can definitely track your intake, and we can be mindful of those things without looking at calories. So if you know that that kind of resonates with you, that's where we might want to just take a skip on, you know, tracking calories and looking at all of those numbers. And so in terms of like tracking calories, you know, people talk about tracking macros. Isaiah, is there a difference between tracking calories, tracking macros?
Yeah, well, if you are tracking calories, you really are inherently tracking macros as well. Those are calories, of course, are being broken down by the three macronutrients. You can do both, but they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. And I think that's important too, because when we consider fat is a more calorically dense of the macronutrients, with protein and carbs being equal, I think sometimes that can kind of draw people away from maybe like healthy fats are important, of course. And so again, that kind of brings back, sometimes it can bring a little bit too much focus on these numbers and things like that. So I think that's definitely important to consider if you are going to want to track macronutrients or calories.
Yeah. So let's circle back to just a second when you brought up the point that fats are more calorically dense, because this is again a big misconception that I see, that you see, that we all see, in that where sometimes people can be a little fearful of fats. And just like you said, we need fats. Fats can be still very healthy and very important in our diet. So let's talk a little bit about, again, how like carbs and protein give us kind of the same amount of calories per gram, but fat gives us a little bit more. So what's kind of the numbers behind that? And then what does that mean from like a food choices perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. So protein and carbohydrates both are 4 calories per gram. And fats would be 9 calories per gram. So of course, again, they're more calorically deficit, and they're each metabolized differently. And so that's kind of important to consider as well when we talk about our calories equal. In a thermodynamic sense, yes, but when we kind of think about, you know, we don't always think in thermodynamics. So when we consider
the real
life,
some big words, Isaiah.
when we think about these real world applications, it's important to consider that, that of course they're a little bit more calorically dense, but they have their time and place, like you mentioned, and
Yeah. So I've heard, you know, some clients maybe mention or people on social media, like, I'm not going to eat the yolk of an egg because it's too high in calories. There's too much fat in it. There's all these calories. And so again, like calories are not bad. And we do need calories. We need a base level amount to make sure that all of our bodily functions are up and
Time.
running. And so again, it's not to say that fat calories are bad calories, but we can just get a little bit more. And you know, like you said, calorie is a calorie. Just like a pound of lead weighs the same as a pound of, you know, feather, you know, feathers. So they're all the same, a pound of bricks, a pound of feathers. All of that is it's all equals a pound. But how much space that pound is taking up, how much bricks it takes to make up 1 pound versus how many feathers it takes, you know, to make up 1 pound. That's where we're talking about density. And so, like you said, when it comes to like our food choices, this is where if you have like a big handful of nuts and then you have another big handful of nuts, how yes, nuts are super nutritious, but they can add up very quickly from a calorie standpoint. So it's just something that we need to be mindful of. It's not to say that we can't ever have nuts, but we just need to be aware of that. So anything else that you'd like to add on any of that?
I think as a great consideration is nutrient density as well. As you mentioned, nuts having being nutrient dense. There's again calories being, so equal, but as well as which of these real foods are providing more nutrients when we consider these different calorie options. If an Oreo is X amount of calories and an apple slice is the same, what is providing, nutrients as well is definitely something to consider. When we talk about like weight management, necessarily that's not important because that's, well, in regard to how many calories that you're putting in and out can control your weight. But it's important, of course, to consider nutrient density as well. So.
Yeah, I usually tell clients like, okay, yes, we need to be mindful of calories, but like what is coming in that calories backpack? If a calorie equals a calorie, what else does that calorie bring to the table? Or what doesn't it bring to the table? So just like you said, the nutrients in an Oreo are very different than the nutrients in an apple. And so, you know, we can still benefit, you know, greatly by all of those other nutrients, even if it's coming with more calories. So I think if you're only focusing on just calories, and again, like we talked about, you know, just tracking calories or just tracking macros, if you're only tracking your calories, you're missing a huge piece of this puzzle. And yes, I mean, there are definitely people out there who say it's only about the calories. And in theory, sure, again, thermodynamically, sure, but in terms of like you being healthy while you are also tracking your calories, that's a whole different, you know, side of things. So again, a calorie is a calorie, yes, but not all food calories, you know, have the same nutrient density coming behind them. So again, whether they're better or not necessarily worse, but again, more efficient at delivering those nutrients is kind of the big take home there. So when we talk about calories and we talk about how many calories that we need, what is kind of like, how do people kind of figure that out? Like, what factors are involved with how many calories that we need coming in a day?
Yeah, so there's equations, of course, the we typically use in our practice, Mifflin St. George, and that considers your basal metabolic rate or what you burn kind of just to live, what your body needs. And then it includes things the thermogenic effect of food, which that's its own conversation truthfully, but in simple terms, it's each macronutrient does differ in how it's thermodynamically burned in your body and the speed of that. So that's taken into consideration when it's being metabolized. And then as well as your activity, which is broken down into NEAT or your non-exercise activity, and then your exercise activity, which is planned exercise. So those all are just in the consideration of this the base equation of what would be how many calories you would need. And that there's obviously other factors that change that with activity, age, and gender, and plenty of other different impacts factors as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so Isaiah kind of brought up four main buckets that we need energy for. So he mentioned we've got our basal metabolic rate, and I kind of explained to clients like this is how many calories you need just to like stay alive. If you were to lay in bed all day and do nothing but blink your eyeballs and breathe, this is how many calories you need. So this is about survival. This is not about thriving and flourishing and really being at your best. Then he brought up the thermogenic effect of food. Again, some really big words. But again, it essentially just boils down to it costs energy to break down our food and, you know, for digestion and absorption and all of the passive and active transport. And if you get really into the nitty-gritties, it costs calories again for us to break down food. It's not a crazy raging amount of calories that we burn there, but it is something to note. So again, so we've got our basal metabolic rate, we have our thermogenic effect of food, we have our non-exercise activity thermogenesis. This essentially is just activities of our daily living. So you get up out of bed, you walk to the bathroom, you walk to your car, you walk into your house, you take the stairs at work, that kind of stuff. So it's just activity of just you being alive. Some people, depending on what their job is, like if you're working as a nurse, your NEAT activity is through the roof because you are walking all over the place, you are carrying heavy things, you are lifting patients, blah, blah, blah. But then at the same time, if you're working at a desk job, your NEAT activity might be a little bit lower. So that is where, again, that bucket category has more variance to it. And then the same goes for our intentional exercise. So this is you choosing to go for a walk for the sake of going for a walk. And so all of these things are all the levers that we can kind of push and pull that are going to determine kind of our calorie budget, so to say. So like Isaiah said, you know, we've got age, our height, our weight, our gender, our disease state, if we have a disease, if we are in a specific season of life, like if you are in a reproductive phase, I'm thinking especially for the females, if you are in a menstruating phase versus a perimenopausal phase versus a postmenopausal phase, all of those different time chunks are going to differ in how your metabolism is going to be functioning. And the thing that I often remind clients is like the biggest boost to your metabolism is going to be the amount of muscle mass that you have. So the more metabolically active tissue you have, the more like burning your inner furnace is, the bigger your calorie budget is going to be because we have to upkeep all of that muscle mass. So we can plug and chug all of these numbers into an equation, but we can't always factor in everything. We can't factor in stress. We can't factor in muscle mass. So even when we use these equations, I like to remind clients that they're just simply ballparks and they're just a good starting point. And let's just start there and let's see what kind of happens. And then let's kind of adjust, you know, from there. So something that I tend to see a lot is after we go through calculating some of these numbers out, some clients are like very surprised by how many calories they need. So they're like, holy cow, that was a lot. I was definitely undernourishing myself. So what might be some signs that people should be looking out for if they're not eating enough, whether it's not enough calories, not enough protein, not enough fat, not enough carbohydrates, undernourishing in general? What should people kind of be on the lookout for?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good point that you make that it is a ballpark. So, this equation, these numbers in a vacuum, in a perfect world, makes sense. But there's again a lot of factors that we can miss out on. And sometimes people will look at numbers and kind of it again, you think it's all quite a bit. And so they wanna they wanna lose weight potentially. And kind of undershoot that number, and that might impact their energy levels, and energy stability. If they're undernourished, they definitely can have that can affect their blood sugar and just overall how they're feeling and their metabolism as well, which is it does seem very counterintuitive, but if you're not necessarily getting enough in, your body understands that and wants to kind of hold on. Not yeah in a starvation sense where that if you aren't getting enough your body doesn't want to expend it kind of like you mentioned before cuts corners in some of the thermogenesis and tries to hold on to more calories and so sometimes it does help to eat some more foods and be fully nourished to boost the metabolism, which again does seem counterintuitive, but I think it's kind of a misconception in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because like you said, our body's goal overall is to survive. It's to keep you alive. So it's going to do everything in its power in order to ensure that that is going to happen. So like you said, it's going to maybe cut some corners if we're not getting enough food coming in. Just like when our phones and our computers and our iPads and our tablets and our, you know, whatever kind of electronic device, if it starts to get low battery to a certain point, it goes into that low power mode. And what does it do during low power mode? It turns off these other things, these background things that are going on. And our body can kind of do the same thing. But at the same time, even though the body's turning these things off that it's not prioritizing, those things are still a priority and they should be on. We shouldn't be turning things off metabolically. So, but again, our body, because if it didn't do that, our existence as humans would probably not be where we are today if it was because we were not properly nourishing ourselves. So it's super important and it's super cool that our body can do all of these things. I mean, we have been fearfully and wonderfully created to live on this earth and to survive. And that's, again, what our body wants us to do. So yeah, like Isaiah said, if you're not getting enough calories, you're probably going to feel really tired. If you're not getting enough carbohydrates, you're probably going to be really cranky and have a lot of mood swings. If you're not getting enough protein, you're not going to recover really well from your workouts. You're going to be really sore in your muscles and you're just going to be very achy. If you're not getting enough fat coming in, now again, because there's other things that all of these nutrients have a role in other than just nourishing us. But if you aren't having enough fat coming in, you could be at risk for different deficiencies as well. So like our fat soluble vitamins, if you don't have enough coming in, you could be deficient in vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K. Those are our four fat soluble vitamins. So if you're not getting enough coming in, then that means that your body can't take in those micronutrients as well. So there's like all these trickle down kind of impacts that come mm-hmm. into play if we're not getting enough. So for the last kind of chunk of our session, we're going to talk about what I'm not going to call it the elephant in the room necessarily, but I'm going to call it the beast in the room because I very much enjoy discussing this topic and going through this topic with clients, but it is a beastly topic to go through because there's a lot of emotion and a lot of mistrust and just it's goes layers deep when it comes to food and calories and macros. And that is the beast of weight management. You know, we've all been told eat less, move more. That's the secret sauce to weight management. And again, like Isaiah brought up, thermodynamically, like, okay, technically, sure, if you like want to look at like, you know, energy can't be created or destroyed, it has to change place and it needs to be moving back and forth and, you know, energy balance and all of these things. There's like a very, very, very small nugget of truth to that. But at the same time, we also need to make sure that we are nourishing our bodies. So again, all of those functions can be up and running. So our metabolism can be up and roaring and ready to go. And that again, like Isaiah also mentioned too, when we were talking about the different macros, they all have different rates when it comes to digestion and when it comes to our, again, that thermogenic effect of food. And so, you know, eating your calorie goal of Twinkies versus a calorie goal of nutrient dense plants, you know, really healthy, like fatty fish and chicken and, you know, beef is going to have a very different effect on your appetite when it comes to your goals in being mindful of your calorie budget. So when it comes to weight management, like sure calories, but like also no, kind of, but not, so what kind of tips would you have for someone who is looking to lose weight, knows that calories are kind of a thing, not really sure, you know, should they track their calories for weight management? Are there other things that they can track when it comes to losing weight?
Yeah, absolutely. And it does kind of bring in, again, with a measurable outcome, you do, if you really want to keep up with your progress in this type of goal, then it could particularly be helpful to be following these measurable parameters of calories. And it really depends on the person when it comes to their comfortability with doing that. I think a con that I don't know if we touched on is just it is a bit tedious as well. So that it comes with that. And I think a goal, protein is a big part. I think focusing on some of the real food examples, like hitting three or more food groups and things like that. I think these type of goals can feel a little bit less stressful when we're talking about calories. And truthfully, if I think it's more difficult to when we think about how we might be eating not enough if we're too calorie restrictive, I think when we think about how much calories we need, that it's honestly a little bit harder to reach that budget when we're eating some foods that, like proteins and whole grains and things like that, that are bringing these high satiety levels in our diet. So I think kind of focusing on some of the more food examples is definitely a better, if you don't want to track necessarily just calories, can be a also a beneficial way to keep in mind your diet, and I think can definitely be beneficial in seeing results.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so big takeaway, do you need to track calories? No, you can definitely be mindful of other things to still be successful in these endeavors. And like Isaiah said, and something that I kind of more so like encourage clients, and it's definitely like flipping the script in terms of the nutrition realm, because again, everybody originally usually says like calories in, calories out, just get a MyFitnessPal and just plug and chug and be done with it. But again, at the same time, like you still need to be nourished. And I hope you're kind of taking that away from everything that we've been discussing in this podcast. So again, like Isaiah said, make sure that you're picking a protein, make sure that you're picking some color, make sure that you're getting, you know, a complex carb coming in, that you're kind of pulling from those different food groups so we can cross off your nutrient needs. And that is definitely a much easier approach when it comes to fueling your body. Sometimes we have that whole restriction mindset where what can we take away? What do we need to limit? What do we need to avoid? But at the same time, I always tell clients, like, I actually want you to have a what can I add mindset? What else can I add to my plate that is going to be more nutritious, that's going to get me more nutrients, and that therefore is going to help me in my goals? Like you said, bringing up with the satiety factor, protein is the most satiating macronutrient that we have. Satiate, again, we're throwing on big terms in this podcast. Satiating just means that it's going to help you feel full. And so what I tell clients is, like, if you want to be able to stretch from your breakfast to your lunch, from your lunch to your supper, and maybe like one snack in between, that's where, again, we want to make sure that we're getting enough protein coming in so that way it can carry you over to the next one. If you have a busy day full of meetings, make sure you're getting your protein right away in the morning. So that way, by the time supper rolls around, you're not ravenous and you're not eating everything in sight and then therefore going against all of your goals. So it's kind of this like chicken or the egg approach. You know, should we watch calories? Should we watch nutrients? And it's kind of both. But at the same time, like if you simply pick quality versus quantity, all of it kind of in some way, shape, or form will align. And that's kind of the narrative and the thought process behind a newer kind of philosophy of intuitive eating, where we're just listening to your body's hunger and fullness cues, and we're choosing nutrient-dense foods. I think it's a big misconception when people say like, oh, intuitive eating is just like, I feel like McDonald's, so I'm going to eat McDonald's. Like, no. I feel like a brownie. I'm going to eat a brownie. No. It's more of just, again, we're listening to your hunger cues. We're listening to your fullness cues. We're being smart about what choices we're putting in. And we're still allowing that flexibility and that freedom. So what other things should listeners know when it comes to intuitive eating?
Yeah, absolutely. And just touching also, with that being said, if tracking is something that people find beneficial, I think, you know, we've talked in the past and I was wrestling and this was I use tracking as a method of being organized, and sometimes that definitely is beneficial for people. But what I found from that, out of my, you know, few years of tracking, was I think it really helps build a background of, okay, these foods kind of have these foods are X amount of protein, calories, and I think that is a great way of transitioning into an intuitive eating pattern, where we kind of now understand what foods we want to include, what foods we might want to avoid. And I think it's definitely beneficial, again, when you mentioned that it's not necessarily saying, okay, a brownie sounds good. So, you know, but it kind of it gives us an idea of, okay, I'm craving a brownie, or, you know, something else. Maybe I can have this instead, having more ideas of some examples that you know might be more, you know, calorie friendly, macro friendly. And I think it's a great practice when we consider just overall balance, because it's not necessarily saying that we can't have these brownies ever, and we can't have these sweet treats, but kind of prioritizing some of those more nutrient dense foods, or have better protein, healthy fat, things like that, over having some of those maybe more empty calories, as you know.
Yeah. And when it comes to like intuitive eating, the goal behind intuitive eating is more about that relationship that you have with food. So it's, the goal of intuitive eating is not losing weight or optimizing performance. Intuitive eating is about, again, just healing that relationship and having food freedom and having body autonomy and being connected with yourself. That's the whole goal with intuitive eating. So if you have a goal in the back of your head of like, oh, somebody just told me that if I just intuitively eat, you know, by doing that, I will just lose weight magically. So I'm going to intuitively eat for weight loss. Wrong. Like, that's not the goal. That's not the philosophy. That is something that goes opposite of the intentions behind intuitive eating. Some people might by default lose weight. Some people might by default gain weight. And either way, either situation is totally okay. That is just apparently what your body needs at the time, and that is acceptable. And so I think that that is also, again, a big misconception, is that sometimes people just think like, oh, all I need to do is just listen to my body and then ta-da, I'll just get to it. Like, not necessarily, because again, intuitive eating is about that relationship. It's not a diet, so to say, like a yes and
exactly.
A no. It's a philosophy kind of behind it.
Yeah, definitely. And it also really does require some practice, truthfully, because mindful eating is not the easiest thing when you consider some physical hunger, and sometimes having a little bit more head hunger, you know, eating when we're eating a little bit more when we're stressed. And again, ties back to the emotional factor of eating, or we're bored and things like that. So it does definitely take some practice to kind of think about, you know, intuitively, am I feeling truthfully hungry, or is it, you know, sometimes something else that's kind of coming up? So, yeah, it's definitely something that you can continue to practice. But again, it's not necessarily a diet. It's more so a lifestyle. And that is important, because that's something that we can find more sustainable and less sometimes overwhelming and stressful when we have these ideas, and can kind of balance our diet that way, rather than if that's something that would be more beneficial than someone tracking everything that you're eating.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I just always remind clients, like, kind of like what you mentioned with your experience with wrestling, is that you kind of used your tracking because you really needed to be detailed and specific because of your wrestling goals. And you use that time to kind of like train your brain, train your eyes to be like, okay, this is roughly about a portion. And so that's the thing that I tell clients too, is like tracking and things like this should not be a thing that you do for the rest of your life. Because I think that there is more to life than logging our food every day. I think it can be useful, again, in those moments. And it can be useful to do kind of like a running audit. And then you can use that then to like, okay, here's what I learned. I learned that I tend to like definitely overscoop when I have XYZ foods. I definitely underscoop when I have XYZ foods. So you can therefore kind of adjust your portioning. You can adjust your food choices in the future So then, like you said, now we can kind of develop that more intuitive eating, because you do have to have a little bit of nutrition background before we can do some intuitive eating things. Because again, otherwise then it turns into, I feel like McDonald's, I feel like a brownie. So one of the last questions that sometimes I hear, or one of the last questions that we'll talk about anyway, is one that I hear often from some clients because of the things that are going on in their life. They've been working with me. They're maybe tracking their calories, or they're being mindful of their macros. They're prioritizing their protein, their, you know, XYZ things. They're hitting their numbers. They're hitting their food choices goals. They're hitting their activity. But the number on the scale isn't moving. They're not reaching that goal that they looked for. What other things should people be mindful of outside of just calories and nutrients when it comes to their health goals?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I do want to touch on when you mentioned portions, we do kind of sometimes have like a portion distortion where we're not necessarily familiar with what a proper portion is, which is totally okay. But again, that's where tracking, again, we're not necessarily saying tracking is bad, can be beneficial in getting a better idea of that and transitioning into a more intuitive eating approach now that we understand that. Now, when we consider we are tracking it and we just haven't been able to see exact results that we exactly want, there's definitely a lot of factors, like we've mentioned, that also come into play when it comes to weight management. Like we mentioned, it is a beast. And so sometimes, again, in a vacuum, these numbers might make sense, but sometimes it won't always work in practice. And that's because of some of these external factors. And I think one that is important to consider, especially, is that, and I've seen this, is where someone could be putting on muscle mass and eating the right things, getting enough protein. They're active, and sometimes you might see that their body composition is now starting to put on a little bit more muscle mass, and their body fat percentage is changing. But that's not necessarily being represented on the scale, and so that's why it's not always a great metric to be just following our weight, because we could be healthier and we could, you know, we could be a better body composition, we could have better just overall lab values like cholesterol and things like that, and that might not be represented on a scale. So that's important to consider as well, is that some making these better, quote unquote, better food decisions might not necessarily always we'll see immediate weight results, but it's not necessarily saying that it's not beneficial and having positive impacts on the body.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and muscle is more dense than, I'm not going to say muscle weighs more, because then it gets into our whole back and forth of like, again, a calorie is a calorie, yes, but like what else, you know, what nutrient dense is it? And it's the same thing with muscle. So you can track other sensations in your body. How are your clothes fitting? You know, how does your body feel? How does your body look? Those kinds of things can also be indicative of positive change. So those non-scale kind of measurements. The other thing that I often tell clients too is like, be mindful of like your sleep. Be mindful of your stress. Because if we are not getting enough good quality sleep, that can alter things in our metabolism. If we have raging stress all the time, losing weight is viewed as a stressor to your physiology. Your body does not want to let go of that in an easy way. So it's going to be a little reluctant. And so if you have a lot of other stressors in your figurative stress bucket, your body is not going to want to add losing weight to another thing into that bucket that it now needs to carry. So again, we can be spot on with our food. We can be spot on with our activity. We could be boosting that muscle. Oh yeah. So again, that's going to be one category of, again, why we're not seeing numbers on the scale moving, because we're having those changes. And that means that there's good things still happening. But at the same time, let's also be mindful of some of those other things that are going on as well in our lives, because they carry just as much weight, figuratively, pun intended, and enjoyed, on, on our efforts as, again, our food and our activity. So food and activity are big pieces to the puzzle, but they're not the only pieces to the puzzle. And so I always like to remind clients of that too, that we can't forget about some of those other things, because again, they're going to influence things too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, when you want to improve, but not necessarily follow your way, those are great examples of non-scale victories, like how your clothes are fitting, how you're feeling in general. If you're, you know, your energy levels and things like that are also important to focus on when we think about just quality of life. You know, it is, we do have a lot of stipulations where weight is something that a number that people like to focus on, and I totally understand that. And can be very important when we consider, you know, other health outcomes, but it kind of lies on, you know, quality of life and things like that, and aren't always represented by the scale as well. So
yeah, awesome. Absolutely. So I think we kind of covered all of the big things, all the overarching basics when it comes to calories. You need them. They're not all bad. We get them from our macronutrients. We need those in different ratios because we need those to nourish our bodies. You can track them if you want. If it doesn't help you, then please stop. There are other ways that you can do that. You kind of need to be in a calorie deficit, but kind of not when it comes to weight management. And when I say kind of not, is again, we need to make sure that we're crossing off our nutrient needs. We need to make sure that we're being mindful of all of that as well. And, you know, a deficit is not a crazy raging deficit of 500 calories a day. You know, that is not going to be helpful in your body. So if you want to go through a calorie analysis, a nutrient analysis, I have all of these equations in a spreadsheet that can be easily inputted and calculated. And we can go around and we can put the context around what does that look like in real food examples. And we can make that come to life in your life. So again, don't hesitate to reach out to me and let me know if that is something that you would like to set up. So Isaiah, anything else that you want to say in regards to calories that we didn't hit on before we wrap up?
I think it's you kind of just mentioned it again, but I think it's important to kind of re-emphasize that, I know it does seem, again, calories in, calories out, so I need to decrease X amount of calories if I want to lose weight. But sometimes a deficit can, you know, start to slow the metabolism as our body wants to retain. So it's just important to consider that as well. We want our bodies to be nourished. And, of course, there is a lot of context that comes in play. So having a resource like a dietitian is a great way to kind of translate some of those external factors in context. So
yeah. Yes. Excellent. So last question for you, Isaiah, that I always ask all of the guests that I chat with in the Nourish to Flourish takeovers or the nutrition takeovers. So my tagline is Nourish to Flourish. So in what ways do you nourish yourself to flourish? This can be food related or non. What does nourishing look like to you?
Yeah, I definitely enjoy eating. So I think it totally re-encapsulates what we talked about when we mentioned getting enough calories in, especially because I have had that experience myself where I've been in, especially with wrestling, in a too far deficit, and it affects your energy levels. And I think if that's something that resonates with you and you feel like your energy levels haven't been stable, and sleep, of course, is important with that as well. But getting enough food in and getting the right foods in, I think, can make a really big difference when it comes to how you're feeling throughout the day, how your workouts are feeling. And so I think in brain, cognitive, a lot of different factors that can kind of get influenced by your nutrition. So I think it's a great place to start when we think about I'm not feeling so good, I'm feeling meh, especially in the winter, we get a little less sun, and it really starts to make you feel a little bit more down. So I think getting the right foods in and hydrating as well, this is the way I see nourishing to flourish, you know, because I think you get the right, you feel good, and you kind of, it's a kind of a cycle, truthfully. You feel good, you do good, it kind of works in that sense, so.
Yes, I love it. You totally embody the Nourish to Flourish. That is so great. So yes, well, Isaiah, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast with me and chatting all things calories.
Of course, of course. Thank you for having me.
So, listeners, as you know, now that you know better, let's go on and do better so we can all be better.